Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. In one of the most enlightening and entertaining documentary films you'll see all year, Carville, Winning is Everything, Stupid, chronicles 18 tumultuous months inside what many consider to be the most consequential election in U.S. history from the distinctive vantage point of one of the most influential, charismatic, and combative voices in the Democratic Party, James Carville. The film features intimate interviews and verite footage with famed Republican operative and James' wife over the last 40 years, Mary Madeline, as well as Democratic luminaries such as Bill Clinton, George Stephanopoulos, Paul Begala, and many, many more. The film is called Carville, Winning is Everything, Stupid. And we're joined today by one of our favorite documentary filmmakers and guests on the program. That would be Matt Tiernauer. Matt, welcome back to Film School Radio.
Great to be here.
With some experience in the field, in the realm of politics, I really appreciate this portrait of him. It does give us a lot of what he's accomplished, but also a side of him that has baffled me for many, many, many years, which is his marriage to Mary Madeline. How did this come to you?
This is a film that came to me, a mutual friend of James and mine, Susan McHugh, called me and said, "Do you think you'd be interested?" Basically, and I immediately said yes. However, that was 2.5 years ago. I wasn't quite sure what the present day action of the film would be. James is very active in that he has a podcast, is on MSNBC every day, and goes around the country giving speeches as kind of a freelance elder statesman of the Democratic Party. There's no question about that. So I thought, well, that was enough because the career is so extraordinary and, you know, being a household name for 30 years plus is extraordinary. And he really is, I think, the person who redefined the art of political consulting in the early 90s. So this is significant in its own right. Little did I know he would insert himself into the 2024 election in such a significant way. That started to happen while we were shooting the film in approximately May of 2023. And once that started, I began to intently follow that storyline. And of course, it's woven into the film and in a way, it takes over the film.
You know, they say luck is the residue of preparation and being there, being available for. This certainly is that. As I'm watching it, I'm thinking, a little bit about how documentary films are made and what the turnaround usually is and how long these processes can take. And we're almost seeing this in real time in the way that this unfolds. At what point, I mean, we're talking July of this year when all of these monumentally important decisions were made. Had you started editing at all? Had you started putting anything together? I mean, what was that like for you as a filmmaker, knowing that, because there is kind of an expiration date in terms of telling this story, or maybe not, but certainly feels like it's ripped from today's headlines. Tell me a little bit about that process for you.
Yeah, there are a few really good points in there. Let me pull it apart and explain what happened. We were very much editing the film all through 2024. I wanted it to come out before the election. It seemed like this was going to be a closer election than it probably should be, even back in the spring of this year. Carville at that time was warning people that Biden was very weak and that the age of the incumbent president was a huge issue. And at that time, the Democratic Party had its collective head in the sand like an ostrich. And it was really Carville who was out there consistently saying Biden is too old and the public perceives him as too old, more importantly, in many ways. No one was listening. So that, I certainly was covering that. We were editing that into the film. I thought we were headed toward a kind of tilting at windmill story of the smartest political consultant out there, a truth teller, which I think James is, someone who can see around corners, which I think that defines James, trying to put out a message and not being heard. In July, as you pointed out, late July of this year was the Trump-Biden debate, and everything transformed overnight. James was proven to be correct in such a resounding way that it was almost incomprehensible, really. I mean, he couldn't even take a victory lap because it was too grave that scenario. Biden's debate performance being that bad, James being the only one really sounding the alarm, who at least consistently, there were other people out there saying it, but he was the most consistent and the loudest voice. So the movie had to change in late July because we were preparing to finish a movie about what I call Too Late the Hero, just like the something that wasn't going to pan out that he was trying to do. And then he achieved his goal suddenly and unexpectedly. So the movie did change.
Well, in terms of just the raw production, editing, those kinds of things, locking the film, this must have felt like a million years to you.
Well, it was scary. I mean, there was a 2.5 week period, I think, between the Trump-Biden debate and when President Biden decided to do what I think was the right, if not even heroic thing, which was to step down as the leader of the party and ultimately endorsed Vice President Harris. And the film had to show that. And as you pointed out earlier, you know, films are battleships. Even documentaries, which are less complicated than features in general, mostly, it's like turning the battleship around. So we were doing it. And full credit to everyone who worked on this film in post. The whole way through, we had a wonderful crew in post, incredible. Just the way that they pivoted. And we were, you know, working weekends and up really late, putting in a new third act.
Kudos to all that you mentioned and more, because it's a wonderful documentary film. And as I alluded to in the introduction, you do cover all the bases. And these are the things that I've been curious about with him. I haven't always agreed with him in terms of his, what he prescribes for the Democratic Party, having been in this game for a while. But I also have always respected him. I've always thought that he did say what he believes. And as I mentioned in the introduction, the other part of the equation is we're all baffled about the Mary Matlin question, in terms of it's his own life. He can live it the way he wants, but it just didn't seem to sync up. But thankfully, and thank you for the film in this regard, is that we have a much better understanding of their relationship. And it's not for me to decide one way or the other. It's just, it's a good window into his world and how all of these things unfolded. So I just love it for that reason alone.
Thanks. The marriage of James Carville and Mary Matlin has baffled many for decades. In the 90s, when they exploded onto the scene, he as Clinton's victorious consultant and she as Bush's political director in the 92 campaign, that was sort of like a Tracy Hepburn real life couple, or, you know, people dating each other in semi-public at that point, but at odds, with a real difference between them and real tension points. And that's what, you know, the George Cukor made a series of Tracy Hepburn movies that were almost that narrative. And I think that captured the public's imagination. It captured the press's imagination. They kept doing this story. And then when Carville and Matlin, with the victorious Carville and the defeated Matlin, get married in the early 90s and write a book called All's Fair, Love, War, and, you know, presidential campaigns, huge best-selling book. They're then on Meet the Press with Tim Russert many weekends, which was, you know, the dominant political show at the time when there were many fewer political shows and no podcasts. What was that marriage? And because Matlin hasn't been in the public eye for decades now, revisiting it and explicating it, examining it, showing that it still exists, and how they've negotiated this discordant political marriage was a big mission of mine. The reason I thought it really needed to be done is that when I was talking about making this film with friends, the reaction was so visceral. Like, I hate that marriage. I never got that marriage. I love her. I hate him. I hate him. I love her. Such visceral feelings, a lot of memories about what this was and puzzlement over it, like you've expressed. So I think if you see the film, you actually have kind of the keys to solving the puzzle of the Carville-Matlin relationship.
Well, I just want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Matt Tiernauer, and he is the director of this film, Carvel, Winning is Everything, Stupid. And I also want to remind our audience of all the incredible work you've done over the years, Valentino, The Last Emperor, Studio 54. My favorite film to explain Donald Trump is Where's My Roy Cohn, Scotty and the Secret History of Hollywood, and Citizen Jane, The Battle for the City, which I loved as well. I loved all your films, but Citizen Jane was such an eye-opener for me, so I would hope that some of our listeners might explore that. There's just so much in your work where it seems, and I'm looking at sort of thematically, you have sort of the other history seems to be your lane, if you will, for a lot of your films. In other words, what we think we know and what we find out is actually closer to the truth. Sound right to you? Do you look for the other history of things in your work? Is that a fair way?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's really important in my work. The sometimes referred to as the alternate history, the counter narrative. Yeah. All of these are good things to describe what I look for in a story. You know, I think there's a lot of received wisdom out there. I think we're taught things in a particular way. Perspectives change. Context is everything. You know, if you look at a film like Scotty and the Secret History of Hollywood, it's a counter narrative to the Hollywood myth machine. I made a series on Ronald and Nancy Reagan that was the same thing, really. One's about, you know, a male prostitute running a brothel out of a gas station on Hollywood Boulevard starting in the 1940s. The other, and, you know, tells the secret history of Hollywood quite literally, which is, you know, there were gay people. They did exist and they lived lives and they were proscribed and the Vice Squad was after them. And then there was this figure who was running around creating a subculture that allowed gay people to have semi-full lives that where they could, you know, meet each other in what we call a safe space. I suppose that's what the gas station was. The Reagans are the counter narrative to the Reagan myth machine. And I think episode one of that is called The Hollywood Myth Machine, actually. So I love looking at this. I don't know how Carvel fits into this. I mean, I get behind the public narrative of Carvel and Macklin, for sure. And politics is storytelling. And James, I think, is the master storyteller in politics today. And you see him do that. Process is a big part of what I cover in my films, too. You see James's process. Sidney Blumenthal, the author and political advisor, who's a friend of James and talks to him every day on the phone, says at the beginning of the movie that James is just not a TV personality. He carefully considers what he says on television to advance a political strategy. And along with that, I would say that he's the most important elder statesman in the Democratic Party right now. I mean, clearly Nancy Pelosi is literally that, but she's an elected official. James is not. And I think that this is proven out in this election year where he really had an important voice in, I would argue, saving the party from a sure defeat with a nominee who was not really connecting with the public because of a glaring flaw or in his campaign that he couldn't control, which is just the inevitable process of aging.
There is a scenario put forward by James, which I'm not going to disclose in the film, about moving forward were Biden to resign, which I actually think would have been, for as a TV event, as he described it, would have been remarkable. It would have been historic. I'm not so sure of the politics of it, but I can appreciate the fact that at that point in the campaign, that something spectacular had to happen. And it was a much more conventional transition from Biden to Harris. But what he was proposing certainly caught my attention. So I don't want to get into too much except to tease people, which it really is, would have been an incredibly spectacular event had it transpired the way he wanted it to.
Like I said, James is a storyteller because politics is storytelling. Yeah. And the story the Democrats were telling earlier this year was just not working. People didn't want to listen to it. So he wanted to shift the narrative. He writes a New York Times op-ed. He goes on television. He starts to make a concrete proposal. And as you see, if you see the film, he's batted down at every turn. And even I'm getting texts from donors, big donors in the Democratic Party, who know that I'm with James frequently, so telling me to tell him to shut up. I mean, it was a real pressure campaign against him, and he didn't flinch. He kept on pushing the very uncomfortable scenario that a sitting president, an incumbent, assured the nomination of his party, having gone through the primaries, should step aside.
Amazing, amazing stuff, because I am such a junkie. I said a year and a half ago to anyone who would listen that Biden would not be on the ballot in 2024. I didn't know how it would play out, but I predicted, honest to God, I'm not making this up. Wow. For a year and a half, I've been saying he will not be on the ballot. Everybody's saying, well, we got past, you know, into the spring. And I said, Johnson didn't, it's in your film. It's in the film exactly this way. Johnson resigned at the end of his speech at the end of March. And yeah. You know, I've just kept saying he's not going to be on the ballot. I didn't know how, but I know he's not going to be on the ballot. So anyway, that's just me patting myself on the back. But
good for you. That was more than I could predict. I mean, I kept asking while we were shooting about Johnson and what date Johnson gave
March
his
31st.
Payment. Right. And that James knew it by heart.
That's
how it got into the film, because I'm asking that. And he and Paul Begala, I'm interviewing them. Actually, I was in South Korea at the time shooting another movie, and I wanted to check in with them. So I did a Zoom that we, you know, put in the film, where it's sort of like a political check-in that I would do, because James is always on the phone with his political consultant compatriots and journalists and operatives every morning. So I would sometimes do a recorded Zoom of that call chain that he does, which is how he gets his intel. And, you know, in early 2024, you know, I knew Johnson had dropped out in the spring of 68, but I was saying, what was the date again? It's like March 31st. Well, you know, there were 6 weeks until March 31st. And that was going to be time to make a decision. And obviously that date passed and Biden carried on until the late summer.
Well, my hair is falling out every day over this election. And one thing was, when Johnson left, his vice president became the candidate, even though it was a brokered convention, which shouldn't have happened the way it did. And he pitched himself as the happy warrior, which is exactly what Harris is doing. So again, if history is repeating itself, I fear for all of us. But I think, anyway, we'll find out in 14 days, 15 days. Mm. Well, Matt, this is just a wonderful, wonderful documentary film. Carville Winning is Everything Stupid. And once again, added to your list of amazing documentary films. And so happy for you. Happy you were in the right place at the right time. And I want to thank you again for spending some time with us here on Film School Radio.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.